Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to worship this morning. We welcome all in Jesus' precious name. A few intimations as we start. Reminder too, for the fire alarm, don't anticipate anything this morning, but if the fire alarm does go off, we'll leave the sanctuary through these two doors at the back and meet up in the car park up at the school. Please do take time at the end of the service to join us all for a cup of coffee and a chat in the hall at the back there. It's just a time to be together and share together. Church Magazine, we've agreed that there'll be a joint Church Magazine. I'm not sure, that's not the finished name for it, is it yet? No. Right, so the idea in Livingston Herald will change into something else. But work in progress for that. But if you've got any ideas for articles you wish to contribute, then please contact Alan Kerr, and the email address magazine@livingstonchurch.org.uk. And this other one, just to go into a bit more detail, it's about the fact that the Christmas edition will be printed in colour. And looking to include pictures and photographs where appropriate. Also, the main theme for View from the Pews is looking at loneliness, isolation and Christmas, specifically what actions could our congregation take to alleviate this. And so there's a general invite for anyone who wish to make a submission by the 3rd of November, and that can be done anonymously if you wish. Christmas fair appeal, just looking for new unused gifts, toiletries, cosmetics and jewellery that can be recycled for the gift stall. So there will be donations in the box in the vestibule. Thank you. Livingston Players, tickets there, £7 for adults, £5 for children, Tuesday 3rd to December to Friday 6th December. Sold out? All Wednesday sold out. So there are still some tickets for the other three nights. And for the Guild, for Tuesday, Mary Ford will be speaking about the project From Crossreach. This is Crossreach's 150th anniversary. Mary will have plenty to say on that. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. We worship God. Let's worship together. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Let's worship.
Thank you.
second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul writes this: "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning to worship you in thankfulness and praise. We come, Lord, to worship you as we are. To seek you, to give ourselves over to you, our Creator, our Provider, so that we may be transformed into your ways, to the people you would have us be. May the presence of each of us here encourage one another so that we can go forward in faith and in hope and in love. Let this place set apart here speak to us of that which knows no bounds, the heaven of your presence. Let this time set apart now speak to us of that which transcends time, the eternity of your love. Let the things we hear speak to us of things which cannot be told. And let everything that we see help us to serve more truly you whom we cannot see. Almighty God, your power made the universe and holds it in being. You are the reason and the ruler. And so as we pray, Lord, we pray that you would direct our minds and our hearts to you. Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask you would forgive us our willful disobedience to you and to our transgressions of your commandments. Father, as we seek your forgiveness, we remember that it was Jesus that in his death and his resurrection and his ascension to be with you again that gave us that forgiveness. Teach us, Lord, that the right use of freedom is in controlling ourselves. Save us equally from the pride which results in lawless self-will and from the fear which results in a surrender of our wills to other people. Show us in each situation and decision how to be both our own and yours so that we can freely and confidently enter into those binding relationships with you and with others. And hear us as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We worship once again all I once held dear. We continue with our offering.
Thank you.
So we move to our prayer. In fact, just before the prayer points, I'm going to just set something up for you so you've got a wee bit of time to think about it. Something I did kind of this morning at our dear, kind of on the spur of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to give you a few minutes warning of this. I'm going to ask you to do is, as we begin to think of our prayer for others, I'm going to read through the prayer points, but for our prayer for others, is just to take a wee bit of time with those around you and or on your own. It just depends how you feel, but you could move and share with others these things and that you particularly want prayer for or would like to pray for, whether it's things about the world, where the world is, where Brexit is, where anything is, or it's the church or whatever, just to take a few minutes and there'll be a bit of space, and then after the prayer points, give that space to have a chat and pray, and then I'll bring that all together in a prayer. So now you've been warned. So the prayer points, Ardrossan Presbytery, Cumbrae, linked with Largs, St John's, and Minister Jonathan Fleming, Gus Mackay, the MDS, Douglas Crichton, the Probation Minister, and the Finance and Stewardship Committee of Presbytery, which is convened by Jonathan Fleming. For Crossreach, it's Children's Care and Education Services, Residential Care and Education Services for children and young people with additional support needs who are looked after away from home. And the prayer points are to pray for all children and young people supported by this service. May they feel safe, loved, and have a deep sense of hope for their future. And the prayer for the staff as they work hard to provide the care, support, and love needed by the children and young people in their care. And from Path of Renewal, Dumfries and Kirkcudbright Presbytery, that's the church at Drogheda in Dumfries, and John Notman, and the mentor is Janice Farris. So just spend a couple of minutes now. If you wish to move, that's fine. If you don't, just think about that on your own. But just take a couple of minutes. What is it that you would like to lift up in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We lift up these prayers to you. Lord, I ask for blessings, for answers, for healing, for your will to be done. And Lord, as we pray too for those who maybe listen in to this service, either on the website or through the CDs. Lord, we pray and ask a blessing for them too. In Jesus' precious name, amen. How deep the Father's love for us. move now to the reading of the words and a chance for us to dwell in that word. And the reading is the church at Thyatira that we're now at, the Revelation 2 from verse 18.
To the church in Thyatira, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
So we'll just take a few minutes to hear that. We'll pray and we'll hear that reading again, and then it'll be on the screens. And it's just to ask the Holy Spirit, what is God trying to say to you this morning? And then at the end of that, we'll just sit and sing Living Under the Shadow of His Wings. So, Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We ask your Spirit present with us now. Will just lead us and open us in the reading of this word to hear your voice. Amen.
Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold of her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thank you.
Living under the shadow of his wings. heart to heart, embracing in His love, reveals His purity, soaring in my spirit like a dove.
Father, we turn to You. I ask You now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by Your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as You intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be Your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray I'll be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to Your name. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're now moved along the road. We're about 45 miles due east of Pergamum, and we're at the city of Thyatira. And here's this church. But actually, I think I want to say, first of all, not a church as we think it. Not a church maybe as we would maybe put it together, but a group of people. A group of people who are together for a common purpose. They've met together because they all believe in Jesus Christ. They have formed a community. And within that community, they're now serving. Not just each other, but others. So this is a community that have developed, that they've come together, and that now they're serving. They're serving in love, and they're serving in perseverance. The message tells us, Jesus' words to this group of people says about love and perseverance. But where were they meeting? They're meeting in this city called Thyatira. It's a smaller city than some of the other ones we'll be looking at and have looked at. But actually, it was a kind of military town because of its base, but also a commercial centre with many of the trade guilds. And one thing we do know from that time is where there's trade guilds, then we find idolatry and immorality, the two great enemies of the church, of the early church. So here we are in this city. There's this group of Christians that are meeting together. They are in a city that has a special temple to Apollo, the sun god. And Jesus refers to Himself in the message as the Son of God. And maybe this is what Jesus was trying to get at. But He's also the one who's wearing the bronze feet, and that's the link to the bronze works and all the different trades that go on in Thyatira, because it has many different trades, commerce on wool, linen, apparel, dyed stuffs, leather work, tanning, bronze work. So it's all there, all that stuff's going on in the city. And here is this group of Christians, people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, people who want to love Him more, people who want to serve Him and follow Him. But that meeting point might not be in a big building, but actually might be in people's houses or just wherever they congregate at an agreed time and place. What suits them best. This is maybe the start of a missional community that's sitting in this area. And what we see is in this message is that Jesus starts with a bit of approval. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. So here's a group of Christians meeting together, and Jesus says, I know your love and your service, your love and your perseverance. And he links love and service together. So in love that they are serving each other, serving one another and serving others. And maybe in perseverance is because they know what's around them, that there's an element of having to work hard, to work through who Jesus is and what he's calling them to do there. So there's that perseverance. But then he also says, and I know that you're doing more than you did at first. So that you're now doing more than you did at first. So that work rate, that service has increased, and their love has increased. They were involved in a kind of sacrificial ministry, which was to the service of others. And that work was increasing, characterized by faith, by love, and by patience. So this was not a group of people or a community or a church, whatever word we want to use to describe them. This was not a group that were just doing religious activity. They were not going through a process of just making sure they're doing this, that, and the next thing. They're actually doing what they're doing in love. They're serving each other, and they're doing that in faith, and their faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and taking the time to do this and measure. So they were, it was almost like a progression of their understanding of why they were doing what they were doing. It was connecting with people. It was mission. It said missional community sitting there in the midst of everything else that's going on. But then Jesus says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. Now, to get into context, maybe just what's happening here is, first of all, in the early church, and it's maybe to the modern church, is detriment that we don't focus so much on these ministries, but they would focus on a prophet. If somebody was gifted with prophecy, that person would have a place, would be brought into a place of within the community. They would normally be brought into a place of leadership, because it was recognized that they were hearing from God and sharing that. So the prophet would be hearing from God and sharing that. It's not always about what's going to happen in the future, but it's actually just about what God is saying. And that would be shared with the community, part of the leadership team. And the prophet was key to the early church. The prophet was the way that they developed and the way they went forward. And actually, if we look at Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4 at verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, shepherds, teachers. And that's commonly linked just now as a fivefold ministry, and something that's been explored along with discipleship and other elements within the church and within churches now. And in fact, you'll find in many churches They'll be looking for where their prophet is, where their apostle is, where their evangelist is, where the shepherds are, where the teachers are. And that's how the church is equipped. So that's the role that this early church, this early community in Thyatira would have. This woman appeared as a prophet, and some, I suppose, all recognized her in a way as a prophet. Some recognized her as a false prophet, and some would just call her a prophet and follow her lead, follow her teachings, follow her ways. But there was a faithful few connected with God through Jesus who saw that she was false. And the whole thing about that woman might not have been, probably was not called Jezebel, but Jesus makes reference to Jezebel because, of, I think I've said this before, it's a character that people would recognize from Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. Jezebel, the queen, she was the wife of Ahab, who, if we read 1 and 2 Kings, she pressed the cult of Baal on the Israelite kingdom, and she was finally killed in accordance with the prophecy of Elijah. So the reference there is to this woman who at the time in 1 and 2 Kings was encouraging Israelites away from the focus on God to sexual immorality and to adultery and to eating of food sacrificed to idols. So taking them away from their worship of God and putting something else in place. And she did this by seducing them away. But sometimes it can appear almost in a way that we don't notice it happening until it's too far down the line. So here in this church, there are people who are following this woman, this prophet, who Jesus has identified as Jezebel. So Jesus is saying, she is a false prophet, and I have called her to repent, and she's unwilling to do so. So now I'm going to take action. And I'm calling the people who have followed her into her teachings and her practices, her doctrines, I'm calling them to repent as well. And if they don't, I'm going to take action. So here is Jesus coming to judge his people. And a real clear call to repentance, to turning away from that false practice, that false ways, and turning back to him in the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this was in the context of people growing in love. People growing in the love of Jesus Christ. People growing in their understanding, but also then now becoming too tolerant of false doctrine, of letting things go. And you know, both these extremes of being too tolerant and the growing, being too tolerant of false doctrine, we must be careful and work out that balance. Speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love. So if we focus too much on just an unloving orthodoxy and loving compromise, these things are both hateful to God. And these are the things he wants us to turn from. So that call of repentance to the church, to those who followed the prophetess' ways, that was a call there for them to stop. to turn. There's a call there for her to stop and turn, but she's already said that she's unwilling. And so Jesus says that she will be on a bed of suffering, as will anyone else who doesn't repent. That bed of suffering actually signifies real suffering. That their lot in the hands of God is not going to be good. That's part of that judgment that Jesus has made. And then Jesus turns to the rest of the church. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira that to you who do not hold to our teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. So he now turns to the rest of the church that are faithful, the church that have perceived this woman to be a false prophet. And he says, I'm not going to place any other burden on you other than to hold on to what you have right now until I come. So that's a real call and an encouragement and an approval of keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on going. Keep on doing what you're doing. And that's because we need to recognize that in this community, not everyone is unfaithful to the Lord. And he shares with them. And he just wants them to hold fast in their resistance to evil. Just wants them to hold fast in their resistance to evil. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. I will give authority over the nations. Receiving that authority from the Father through the Son, the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It's thought to be that actually when Jesus comes again, that authority to be Christian, to be of Christ over the nations. So when Jesus comes again, those who are followers of Jesus will be with him and sharing in that authority over the nations. It's a real promotion to a place, a special place in Christ. Conversation I had this week with someone, we were talking about various things that were going on in churches, and he was saying of the activities that they've had that have built up community spirit, that people are now coming to church. They recognize the church's name. They recognize where the church is. There's people who are coming to volunteer, though they don't necessarily appear on a Sunday morning, but they're helping in the church and around the church and connected with the church. And he said that their identity was in the church. And while I understand that, my view is more of an identity is actually in Christ Jesus. So receiving authority from Jesus. Our identity is in Christ Jesus. Whose are we? We're Jesus Christ's. That's our identity. We have been justified by faith. We have been given forgiveness. We receive eternal life through our identity with Jesus. And so for me, while people will connect with churches, with places, with things and bigger areas, but actually we must not lose sight of our identity in Jesus. These people who held fast, the faithful ones, their identity was in Jesus. They knew who he was, they knew who he is, and they knew all that. and so they focused on Jesus. The reference there in I will give authority over the nations, and I also give that one the morning star. Jesus referred to as the morning star, the bright morning star, actually being given that is, again, it's about his identity and us receiving his identity, so that we have the bright morning star, we have Jesus within us and around us. And so as we begin to pick this out and try and work out, one of the lessons we need to understand is that we can become like the church in Ephesus, becoming too zealous and orthodox, but lose our love and our devotion to Christ. But also can happen is, like Thyatira, our love can be increasing, yet we lack in the kind of discernment that's necessary to keep the church pure, to understand our identity and to focus on that. As we see that church developing in Thyatira, we see it had been growing in there, but it was serving actually for us to look at what it means for us here in the church today, and how we develop and how we become church, and very much about looking at, first of all, what's our identity, and that's a little bit about receiving the authority from Jesus, receiving the authority from the Father that we are his and he is ours, and he calls us to serve in the area. And how we do that is, for me, based around being community, being with people, and actually how is it that we connect with people in the area to share with them. These lessons we can learn from the Word, from Jesus speaking to us, just taking that time to be in the relationship with the Father, to hear the words, to speak, because the days of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher are not gone. And I think in many ways we need to rediscover what that means for the church of today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Let's worship. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to leave this place, may we leave knowing that you are with us by your Spirit, that your presence is ever with us. Lord, as we go out and we meet those that you've set in front of us, may we be able to share your love. May we be able to serve you in the way that you call us to be. And the love, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. May the peace of the Lord Jesus go with you.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. May the peace of the Lord Christ